Welcome to the, what is this?
The Real BS Show.
Yeah. I was sleeping over
The Real, yeah.
Wake me up.
Man. I hit record.
Man, it's cold outside.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, we went from 72 or 74 down to 20.
Oh, man, it's cold out there now. Sun's shining now, but because it was snowing like crazy this morning.
There was one point where it was thundering so hard that it shook my whole body.
Yeah,
and it shook the windows. The windows were shaking.
Yeah, it was raining. It just poured.
Then it hailed. It was quarter-size hail. That was pretty intense.
Yeah, crazy weather. Crazy weather. speaking of crazy, I was looking at these. Well, you know, in one of these upcoming weeks, we got to do a thing on do a show on these mega church preachers.
Yeah.
These prosperity gospel guys, Kenneth Copeland, and a whole bunch of Joel Osteen. There's a whole pile of them. I think that'd be interesting. We get some sound bites from them guys.
Oh, easily. This is one of those things we could easily. There's so much audio out there of them saying wacky things. Yeah, so wacky.
It's nothing about any certain religion or anything.
No.
It's just about these guys and the way they think they're God, you know.
It's modern day snake oil salesmen. That's what they are, and it's a growing problem.
Who's that guy that cures Benny Hinn?
Yeah.
It is so ridiculous.
It's
people eat it up.
And then you have that Kenneth Copeland. He looks like Satan. I mean,
he's got his own airport. It's right
two airplanes,
his house.
Two airplanes. You know, jets. You know, they were asking him why. Well, I won't spoil it. There was something that was in an audio clip that we can get that was really, really creepy.
Oh, about being in a tube with a bunch of demons.
Yeah, and other things. There's other things he said too.
He doesn't want to fly commercial.
He had an interviewer, someone from the news, come and try to talk to him, and he just let in on him, and it's just the way he did it was so creepy. I won't go into it.
Demon like face.
I
remember seeing that. It was. Well, but people, I mean, you look at it, they got 14, 15,000 people show up for their sermons.
And people giving their whole Social Security check to them. It's like crazy.
Unbelievable. People are like that. Ted Haggard. Yeah, Ted Haggard. He's the one that was, he got caught buying drugs off of some gay guy or something and going for massages and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy! Everything he was preaching against, he was doing, and he got caught.
Isn't that kind of ironic?
Hoo-wee. You know,
it's really telling. But you know, in this situation, you know, this day and age, it's like, you know, you look back into the old days. There were snake oil salesmen, and it's nothing. There's nothing new under the sun here in this regard. And I think that's what it is. These are just modern day snake oil salesmen.
Is that something that we could do? Is that something we could do? Could
we are doing it, aren't we?
How do you? Yeah, but you got to get people to give you money.
Yeah.
You know, on their own free will. Yeah. So, you know, but you got to talk them into it. Yeah. You know, say, you know, if you give me a dollar, God will give you back $100.
Well, you could change it to anything, Bill. It doesn't have to be God. It could be anything. You know, if you pay more taxes, then the new Green Deal will.
Shower you with sunlight or solar panels or something.
You'll feel moral superiority for having somebody else to pay more taxes. I mean, it's the same thing.
Well,
you know,
I'll tell you what, these gospel guys have really got it.
But Jimmy Swaggart.
Wasn't he the one that was crying on there saying you know that he sinned and blah blah blah. He got caught, bottom line.
Yeah.
he would have never done that if he hadn't got caught.
I bring up the point of the virtual signaling and the moral superiority that people feel. That's what it's the same group of people. It's not the same group. It's the same concept is when people are doing the prosperity doctrine is that they feel that if they were to put more money or more this or more works of some sort into doing something, then they'll get more out of it. It's the same concept as, you know, somebody thinking that paying more taxes will make them feel better. It'll be better because they're paying more taxes, helping other people. But here's the problem. That's not you going out and actually doing it yourself, helping somebody. So you're offloading being nice to somebody else and being required. It's the same thing with the prosperity doctrine. They believe that if they all come together and all donate, then they all will be rewarded. It's the same. It's a very, very similar concept, but that's for another show. What's what we're doing today?
It's interesting. It's interesting that people fall for this stuff, and support this kind of crazy stuff. And I don't know. I don't know what it is that clicks their trigger, but it makes them do it.
The thing is that most people don't realize is that are in it is it's not biblical. If you were to study the Bible, whether you agree with it or not, it's not a biblical founding at all. So they're being lied to, you know.
Well, I heard some of these preachers saying that, well, if Jesus were here today, he wouldn't be riding around on a donkey. He'd be driving a Rolls Royce like me.
So it sounds like Creflo Dollar or something.
Yeah, some of those kind of guys.
You know, he has a mega church right across from a poverty-stricken area. So he has this multi-million dollar building. I don't even want to call it a church, but it's an example, you know. And it's like his name's Dollar. I don't think that's his real last name.
I don't know, but it fits. Yeah, what's like Scientology? I mean, that's just as crazy as...
If you read into it a little bit, it gets really weird.
Yeah, it's outer space stuff.
Yeah, you become your own god kind of thing.
I forget the name of the
thing. Thetans.
Thetans, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, the Tom Cruise.
And there's levels. Yeah. So you could level up. You have to pay more to level
sure,
up.
Oh, sure, yeah. You get up to level 8 and you're like a god or something.
They have this e-reader thing that they attach to you.
It's an ohm meter is what it is.
Yeah, it's stupid, isn't it?
But it's like a lie detector test or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so goofy.
Yeah, people eat it up.
You know, the thing is what they do is they get you to admit the things in the past that you did in Scientology.
Then they got you.
They record that, and then they use it against you. They can sit there and publish it out. And so if you were to, you don't ever want to do that because they'll hound you. But it's kind of one of those things you'd want to lie to them almost, like simple lies. They're like, oh, there has to be something wrong with you. So you got to, you know... You got to say something simple.
Who is the inventor of that?
L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, Ron Hubbard. He was almost going to buy that book, Dianetetics. Dianetics.
Yeah.
I was a long time ago. I remember I was going to buy that book. It's like a self help book or something. I don't know. But yeah, what a nut job.
He was a science fiction writer, and that's how he got started. But you know, really,
he just kept on going.
he really went off the deep end.
But movie stars and all these people, they just eat it right up.
And he infiltrated into the U.S. government, so there's a lot of
they're trying to keep their tax exempt status, which they lost.
They lost in Germany,
and then they got it back. So I don't know. It was in the 80s or 90s. Yeah.
But in Germany, they're still not allowed to be a religion there. That's one of the things. But in the U.S., they are. It's definitely, that's an example of the same thing with Mormonism. You know, they have a lot of people that are Mormons. And there's, the Scientologist ones are a little bit more aggressive in the sense they'll sue you. So there's a lot of documentaries on them where those people got sued.
Yeah, pretty savage bunch, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Mormons are that. It's a whole nother ball game there. Some guy found some gold plates in the up here in New York, not too far from us here.
And they went through here. And every town they went through, they were taking women to be their wives.
Well, they're allowed to have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
They didn't have to just have one. You could have a bunch of them.
It's just, you know, if you imagine what the guy was saying, is basically saying, I'm the prophet of God and... He told me to do this.
Joseph Smith. And he fell out a window or something in Illinois.
Yeah, after he was in jail. Yeah.
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 Maybe they threw him out the window or something. Yeah. I don't know. But then it went on to, what was that guy's name? Brigham Young.
Yeah. Yep.
He took him to Salt Lake City.
There's one thing I have to thank the Mormons for, though, is their very strict genealogy research is because they believe that when someone, their ancestors in the past, they had to go back and pray them into heaven. And so, and they believe in a Mormon heaven, which is a little bit different. That means they had to go back and pray that person in. And so that means they would have to find out who their ancestor was to pray him in. And so they keep very strict genealogy research.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that they really...
It's a weird thing on my mother's side, because you have to remember, you know, like I said, they started in New York. Okay. Yeah. I have family from New York originally and, you know, different other states in the, you know, Northeast on my mother's side. And there's a lot of family members that are like fourth or fifth cousins that live in Utah that are Mormons on my mother's side. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, they must have been early on Mormon believing, accepting, you know, Mormons. And so it's kind of a little disturbing to find that, you know. So one, I hate to say this, one of them is a popular book author. That's like a fourth cousin of mine. And
a book author?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like kind of a weird
I'm
thing.
I'm probably a book author. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, but this it's like, but in the Mormon community, yeah, it's a kind of a weird thing. So,
You ever been through Salt Lake City in the summertime? Yeah. Hot
yeah,
summertime.
Yeah.
Stinks like fish, dead fish everywhere. Yeah, yeah. Oh, is it awful?
Yeah, it's Mormon paradise, though.
Then you go up the hill, you know, once you go through Salt Lake City and you go up the hill and all the ski lodges and stuff up there, it's real pretty and Utah's a real scenic state.
It is. It's a very different one.
Everywhere you look.
Yeah, yeah.
But boy, does it stink in the summer.
It's a problem with the water there as well.
It's salt water.
Yeah, but it also the wells, it's very difficult to get water there. And that whole region is a rough. They had almost a quasi war. They actually killed other Americans.
They killed a lot of Indians.
Yeah, they killed a lot of Indians, and also they killed a lot of Americans going through. There was a it's kind of a crazy thing to think about that time period. They had to send the military in to quell them because they felt that they wanted to be completely independent. And it's like, well, that's our territory.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know, but one of the other things that I wanted to do, and I think you got a lot of information about, is all these people died. Musicians that died, music people that died at the age of 27.
Yeah,
it was like a weird age or something. A lot of people OD'd after that or before that.
But, right.
But there was a bunch of big ones: Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah,
Jim Morrison, Doors.
Yeah, Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, there's quite a list. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it goes all the way back to really the kind of the earliest popular musicians. It was from like 1938. You had Robert Johnson, who was a blues musician, and 27 years old is a very common theme for him. It's like they become famous, and then it's like within 4 to 5 years they wash out from the drugs and partying and what have you and die.
It's hard to imagine how that, Keith Moon did the same thing, but he was 32, I think.
Right.
It's pretty bizarre that how that happened. I don't know. You got something by Janis Joplin. Let's play something by her. Then we'll play some, Jim Morrison stuff. Cause they really had a kind of neat,
vibe. Their whole band was a change of sound.
But it
kind of
rotated around Jim Morrison,
right?
You know, Mr. Poet. You know, that's all he wanted to be was a poet. And, I think he died in
a mysterious poet.
Yeah, he died in Paris. I think he was.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a weird situation there too. But you know, the same good old age of 27.
Right.
So let's give Janis Joplin a whirl, and I'm sure it was drugs or alcohol or something that got her. But they're so rich and famous that they just they felt I don't know,
invincible.
Well, they felt invincible, but yet they were depressed. You know,
self-medicating.
Yeah, I don't know, Janis Joplin. They just want to be the center of attention, and if they're not quite. And they fall apart.
Right.
All right, Janis, do it. Do us a number, and then we'll talk about Jim.
Take another little piece of my heart, no, baby. know you got it. Chant if it makes you feel
Well, there you have it, Janis Joplin. Jim Morrison.
Jim Morrison, the Doors.
Now, I like the Doors. They had their. I like their band.
Right.
You know, but he was the instigator and the prime mover of the whole thing. But the band put together some nice stuff. And I don't know, you got a lot of their stuff.
Oh yeah. Play. We got the next one is just from their second track album. But then we had the first album, complete first album, that we can play.
Yeah, it's amazing how much of the stuff that it wasn't that popular, but it was good. It was really good.
Right.
Yeah, this first song you're going to play, I want to do that with the Too Dumb to Quit band.
Right.
And I got to talk them into
it. You did it with Boys Not Out, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
You guys always, everyone always danced with that song, man. They really got
it. Yeah, I think so. And there's not much to it, you know. They're just, it's pretty much the same all the way through.
Yeah, he had older ladies out there breaking their hips to these songs.
I don't know. It's, you know, it's all, I guess there's some memories there, but it all comes and goes so fast that you don't remember. Half of the stuff you do, you don't even remember. So, I mean, how important is it, you know?
I have to say this, though, is like he died at 27. And when I was like, you know, 16, 15, I thought, wow, 27, that's an adult, you know? Like, no, I look
back. He's old.
Yeah, he's old. Not really old, but, you know, older. And now, like, I'm 40 years old now, and it's like, that guy was so young.
Yeah.
He didn't look like it when I was, you know, 15, 16. He didn't look young, but now looking back, like he was
so
young.
You should try 73. I mean, I don't feel 73, but I mean, I do kind of ache when I get up in the morning.
But wasn't he technically older than you though? I mean, when he was born, I think he was born in,
He was born before me. Yeah, he was born in the 40s.
Right,
yeah.
And so in some ways, he was like more older than you and. Yeah, 43. So he was 7 years older than you.
He was born in 43.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He led a tough life. I mean, his dad was a military guy, and they moved around a lot.
Right.
And he was always in trouble. I don't think he even graduated. He quit school early, and his dad got mad at him. And he went to, I think he went to college for video. Maybe he did graduate. I don't know. He went to college to be something about video or movies.
Right.
And didn't finish that, but then they just, I don't know, he started, just fell into a bunch of guys and boom. It was all about him.
Right.
It really was. He's the one who directed everything.
And you know? I remember being in L.A., there was that one house on the beach that he lived in. I can't remember what the name was, a hotel or something that he stayed in. And that was where they recorded the first album. And we'll get into that later, but I thought that was an interesting thing to see. And it's like, you know, you see pictures and stuff of it, and it's like, that wasn't that big of a hotel. They recorded in that building, and it's like, that it kind of was a shocking thing, you know? Yeah. You think a recording studios would have been more popular back then, but no, they just recorded wherever, you know?
Mm. Well, they hit it off right, and you know, and then they played at all the big spots, you know?
Right.
I can't remember.
And he was very defiant. He got on, I think, the Ed Sullivan Show, and we'll get into that later, too. But I just...
Yeah, he did a lot of stupid things, you know, take his clothes off.
Yeah,
Crazy, crazy stuff. But, hey, that was him, you know. He was out there, really out there. So, yeah, let's play a couple tunes by him and get it warmed up a bit.
All right. Show
coming at you. That was Jim Morrison. We got a lot of Jim Morrison. While we're talking about dead 27-year-olds, Jimi Hendrix, and there was a bunch of them. So let's play a bunch of Jim Morrison stuff, the Doors stuff.
Right.
They had a good band. They really did, you know. And then when Morrison died or took off, they kind of lost it. You know, they just didn't have that magic spark to them anymore.
Right. Imagine that, being in a band that big and all of a sudden lose the lead singer that was kind of really drawing everybody to come. And then sit there thinking, boy, what are we going to do now?
Yeah. You live off of royalties or something.
Yeah.
Well, that's like Keith Moon. He thought he was the greatest thing ever, you know, that there ever was. And he started screwing up and showing up late and missing shows and stuff. And finally they said, hey, look, buddy, we're going to get somebody. Matter of fact, they were at a show and he passed out.
Oh, wow.
In the middle of a show, he passed out. They asked the audience if anybody knew how to play drums. And some kid, 17-year-old kid, come up there and played and did a nice job, really nice job, and finished the show with them. And, you know, that kind of, you know, woke him up a little bit, but he just kept acting like a total idiot, you know. I mean, just doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and it's just too much money, you know, to, you know, when you're swimming in money, it just makes you think you're a lot better and more powerful than you really are.
And then you probably have...
I mean, there's nobody on this planet that can't be replaced.
That's very true. It's like... But
even
this,
me.
There's a saying that... Oh, that's why I believe that big time, that everybody's replaceable. But at the same time, you think about it, a lot of these band members were always told... You know, they had a lot of yes men around them. And that's... I noticed that in the music industry today.
Oh, sure,
You see that all the time in actors and
the
musicians.
The stories I could tell you... Because we did sound work for a lot, thousands of national acts. Oh, I mean, a pile of them. And, you know, you have to work with them during the day for rehearsals and stuff, make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do.
Right.
And everybody can hear what they want to hear and all this and that. And you have to deal with them. And 80% of these people are total jerks. I mean, just total. I could go down the list. I mean, there's some of them who are so full of themselves. You weren't allowed to make eye contact with them.
Yeah.
You know, politicians, I mean, Hillary Clinton, that was one of her things. You weren't allowed to make eye contact with her.
That's pretty weird.
So, well, you're going to sound like Donald Duck when I get done with you.
It's the truth of the matter is I think there's too many yes men around them that don't put them back in the check. And that's what's needed in this day and age. You really have to have somebody counter you and put you in reality.
Well, there was one, John Denver.
Yep.
Wonderful guy.
Right.
I mean, really easy to deal with, easy to work with. But his manager was a total jerk. I mean, just unbelievable. Like he was the star of the show.
Right.
I mean, but I could go on for hours with all these different crazies that I dealt with and the stupid things they do. You know, and you just stand there and say, holy smokes. And I don't know, it's just amazing. Let's play a little, let's play some Doors music and, you know, I don't think anybody wants to listen to us babble all day. and of course it is our BS show.
That's true, we aren't BSers.
Not that there's any donations or anything.
No.
You know, there's nothing financial here. That's what
Who's going to fire us right now?
Yeah, right. You know, we'll fall over dead from our own means, our own way.
Yeah.
So, okay. Let's listen to some Doors.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah. We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there. But can't you still recall the time we cried? Break on to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Mm-hmm.
Said it's time to close now. I guess I better go now. I really like to stay here all night. The cars crawl past all stuffed with eyes. Seems bruised with numb surprise. Still one place to go. Still one place to go. Let me sleep all night in your soul kitchen. What a man be your gentle stone. Turn me out in a wonder, baby. Stolen in the neon. Grow with your fingers. We quick minarets. Speak in secret alphabets. I light another cigarette. Learn to forget. Learn to forget. Learn to forget. Learn to forget. Let me sleep all night in your soul kitchen. Warm my mind to your gentle stone. Says it's time to close now. I know I have to go now. I really wanna stay here all night. All night. All night. Slip into unconsciousness. I'd like to have another kiss, another flashing chance at bliss, another kiss, another kiss. The days are bright and filled with pain. Enclose me in your gentle rain. The time you ran was too insane. We'll meet again, we'll meet again. Thank you.
Your freedom lies the streets of fields that never die. Deliver me from reasons why you'd rather cry. I'd rather fly. The crystal ship is being filled.
Jim Morrison, in his, you know, that was in the 60s, I think.
That's right, yeah.
The later 60s. He was, they were, it was a team effort, it really was. But, I mean, he was the spark plug.
Yeah, he wrote his own lyrics.
You know? Yeah, he was a poet. He wanted to be a poet. He wasn't that excited about music. But he did a lot of crazy stuff. He got arrested. I think he was in Paris, France, because he was wanted. He was like hiding out because he got arrested in America,
right?
For indecent exposure or something.
Right.
He did something really crazy on stage, and they arrested him. So yeah. He lit out to France, and that's why he was there.
Yeah, and even before that, he was on the Ed Sullivan Show, and they didn't want him to say certain things about, like, on I think it was, I can't remember the name of the song, but it's something about you can't get much higher. They didn't want him to say that because there was a reference to weed, and so they wanted to say something else, and he just said you can't get much higher, and he pissed them all off.
You know? You tell him what he can't do and he'll do it.
Yeah, he's one of those renegades, and now you got artists thinking they're the modern modern version of Jim Morrison, and it's like,
yeah, right.
He was kind of more the original.
Well, he did himself in. I mean, it was really his own doing, you know.
Right.
And it was crazy. I mean, he was healthy as all get out, and I remember he was walking around or something in Paris there, around where he lived, and he was hanging out with an old friend of his that he hadn't seen in quite a while.
Right.
And then that night he just, boom. And I don't know if it was from drugs or alcohol. I know he drank a lot, but I don't know. His body just gave out and just quit. And then his girlfriend said, well, she didn't call the paramedics or whatever right away. She let him, you know, simmer for a while.
Right.
So they were kind of upset with her, but
that's a weird thing.
Who knows what happened? Never.
That's the problem. People weren't there. You
don't know for sure, and
it's a very common theme that you find with a lot of other people. Like you have like other people, like musicians or comedians that died, and there's this conspiracy theories that form. Oh, you know, good example is Kurt Cobain. A lot of people think Courtney Love had him killed, and they're ignoring a lot of the things that Kurt Cobain was doing to himself.
Yeah.
That ended up leading to him dying. You know, he's had a lot of self-destruction in his own life, you know.
It's amazing how many people had just super, super rich, had everything, you know, just totally everything.
Right.
And they blew it. They just ran themselves into the ground, or, you know, they killed themselves, really, a lot of them. And you just, you know, they just thought they were too important or something. I don't know what it is. Because I saw that, you know, through the whole thing, you know, doing concert work, you know, I ran into it all the time. These people just thought they were just the most important thing since sliced bread, you know. And I used to tell some of them, I said, well, here, you run these controls and I'll do the singing.
Right.
You know, I said, it don't matter to me, you know.
There's a thing going off of what you were saying about people running themselves in. There's a book by Thomas More called Utopia, and it's where everybody has everything. They end up having, you know, there's no shortage of food. There's no shortage of luxury. There's just perfection always. And in that book, he describes how people would just go mad and destroy everything because it's so perfect. They couldn't take it. They become bored of it. And in some ways, I think that's similar to what a lot of these musicians that reach such a level of fame that they can't handle how their lives are. No one's made for that. Even those that are born into it, they become self-destructive. Look at child stars. Look how many child stars have like destroyed their lives because they were in that whole thing for years during their childhood and they didn't have a normal childhood and then become, you know, adults and don't know how to adjust to it, you know?
Yeah, it's a crazy, I mean, you know, I guess nobody's perfect, but right. There's a lot of people that destroyed themselves when right. they had everything.
Right, right.
And it's either a quest for power or
fame,
whatever.
Fortune,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes the fame and fortune are already there, and that's what drove them to go nuts in the long run.
Right.
Long run, you know, it's just amazing. Like I say, there was a whole bunch of, not a terrible big list, but there was a bunch of different sound jobs
oh, yeah.
where you were not allowed to make eye contact.
Right.
With, you know, Barry Manilow was one I remember. Hillary Clinton was another one. Even the guys, the board of directors at Hammett Hospital, I did a video projection thing for that one of their meetings, and that was one of my things. I wasn't allowed to make eye contact with any of the board of directors. I said, how would I know which one's who? You know, I don't
right.
care. You know, that's a stupid thing to tell me. You know, I just like, who cares?
Right.
You know, and same way with Hillary Clinton. I mean, it was just. I mean, I actually hollered at her. You know, she was bad mouthing my daughter out in the parking lot, and it was the Secret Service got me out of there real fast. I said, "This is crazy," but there's quite a list of these people that just I don't know. They just
the 27 Club, you know.
Yeah, the 27 Club is. I didn't know it was that big. You know, and of course that goes back quite a ways. But,
yeah. Even in the last, you know, 30 years, there's a lot of people.
A guy from Canned Heat. I didn't yeah. know that. I mean, yeah. Wilson, I think, was his last
right.
name. It's amazing. It's amazing. But, like, you know, like most of their stuff, you know, I mean, it was something. It was special, but, you know, it's gone. You know, just there's so many people have no clue who the Doors are or Jim Morrison is or Janis Joplin. I mean, there's a lot of people. You know, that don't know who they are,
right?
Who they were, and you know, it just everything moves on, just keeps on rolling. Speaking of rolling, let's play a little more Jim Morrison stuff. It's kind of nice to listen to,
right?
Well, she's fashionably lean. She's fashionably late. She'll never rank a scene. She'll never break a day. But she's no drag. Just watch the way she walks. She's a 20th century fox. She's a 20th century fox. No tears, no fears, no ruin years, no clocks. She's a 20th century fox. Oh, yeah. She's the queen of cool, and she's the lady who waits. Since her mind left school, it never hesitates. She won't waste time on elementary talk, 'cause she's
century Fox got the world locked up inside a plastic box. She left 20th century Fox again. 20th century Fox again. 20th century Fox again. She left 20th century Fox.
Well, show me the way to the next whiskey bar.
I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die. Oh, moon of Alabama, now must say goodbye. With love, I'll get out.
Yeah. time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
There you go. That's now that Light My Fire was one of the Doors biggest hits.
Yeah.
And probably I liked the least.
that's
I
funny.
I really didn't, you know, right. It just seemed boring or something to me.
Right. But, the ladies liked that song, you know.
Yeah, it seemed to me we played it and it was just, I don't know, it's just.
And I find that, I kind of find that right with you, that there's songs in different bands that I don't care for because they're the most famous ones. It's usually the other songs that they put in there that most people don't realize they're better.
Well, a good band, a good musicians will, you know, most everything they play will be kind of good.
Right.
You know, and have their own. It just so happens that, you know, the commercial guys, they pick out one and say, let's push this one and
right.
Let's make some money.
And then sometimes you do hear a formula that they're going for that song matches. And I think that's kind of, there's like an algorithm kind of thing going to it, how songs are made. And I noticed that you can hear the popular songs. They almost sound all very similar of different bands. If you look across the...
Well, go to McDonald's sometime or yeah. Walmart or whatever and listen right. to the music they're playing. It's yeah. awful. Yeah, it's just yeah. terrible. And but it's like two chords.
It's following the formula,
it's
though.
It's all, you know, mechanical drums and it's just, I don't know, it's just whew, really makes you...
It's a lot
it's
of...
It's not good for your appetite.
The key
when
of
you
C,
go to,
the key, you know, there's a very popular key. That's, I think, one of the reasons why if you listen to... the one band, we did it before on our show where the guy played a bunch of different songs all in the same key and just played those songs at the same beat and was singing, you know, would switch between the song, different songs, and play different songs all in the same key. And it's kind of funny, you know?
Yeah, well, that's, what did we did that with one, Wagon Wheel.
Wagon
so
Wheel.
It was really
and,
popular and,
Always.
I'm in a hurry in to get things done. Yeah, exact yeah. same chords,
right,
you know.
Right.
I bumped into it by accident. I said, hey, that's the same. So we tried to split the song up, and it didn't. We haven't done it very good yet, you know, but we'll get it. You know,
right.
You just keep going, and boom, you're in another song. You just change the melody, you know.
Right.
And then you switch back again. And,
right.
It's kind of fun, you know. It's fun to do and kind of neat, but you know, well, music's music. You know, there's only so many notes that
right.
you can hear, so it's just the math, the number of combinations are in the trillions. You know, as far
right,
as what
right.
you could do with the notes, so it's pretty interesting, but you know, some people just got something special, you know, and it clicks.
That's the truth to it. I think that, you know, there's only so many keys that you could do of music, and then but the what you can change is the time
you'd
signature.
Be shocked at the number of songs that have got exactly the same chords.
Yeah, yep.
Exact same chords.
But you can change the time signature to make it interesting. I think that's one way of doing it.
Well, you change the time signature, you change the instrumentation, you know.
Right
whether it's a trumpet or trumpet.
And harmonies in certain spots, not in certain spots, you know.
Yeah.
You can switch up a song a lot of different ways. You know, there's even where they're not even doing courses in the song. It's just all verse. And that's kind of sometimes, I'm okay with it sometimes, but Not always.
Yeah, you got to throw a little, mix it up a little bit.
Right.
You know, add some zest to it, right. I guess. But I don't know. Let's, we got four or five extra songs left over. Why don't we just, I don't know how long we've been.
Over an hour.
Oh, it's over. Well, why don't we just say good night or good afternoon or whatever, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
And we'll just leave it with some tunes at the end here to put you to sleep. Right. Or whatever.
Yeah.
If you're driving, please don't go to sleep.
Yeah, don't go to sleep unless you're not driving.
Yeah, if you're not driving, it's okay. Yeah. Okay, well, that's it for us. See you next week.
See ya.
I'm a bad some abundant sweet delight, some are born to the endless night, end of the night, end of the night, end of the night.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end, no safety or surprise, the end. I'll never look into your eyes again. Can you picture what will be so limitless and free? Desperately in need of some stranger's hand in a desperate land.
The killer awoke before dawn. He put his boots on. He took a face from the ancient gallery and he walked on down the hall. He went into the room where his sister lived and then he paid a visit to his brother and then he walked on down the hall and he came to a door and he looked inside. Father, yes, son, I want to kill you. Mother, I want to. Come on, baby, take a chance with us. Come on, baby, take a chance with us. Come on, baby, take a chance with us and meet me at the back of the blue bus. Do not blue rock on us. This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end. It hurts to set you free, but you'll never follow me. The end of laughter and soft lies. The end of nights we try to die.
this is